Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I must confess that sometimes when I'm reading lectionary texts where these are chosen a year ahead of time and powers that be tell you what verses go with what, I usually scratch my head and say, how does this one relate to that? And what I usually do is pick out one and say, that's the one I'm going to preach on. Well, today I actually found that they're related. Not at first. It took me a while to figure it out, but I figured it out. And we'll start with the story of Jesus and Peter. Now, you remember last week when we talked about Jesus and the pagan woman, and how this pagan woman asked Jesus for a favor, and at first he was very dismissive of her, but then he granted that favor, even though this woman gave him no guarantees that she was going to follow him, that she was going to end her pagan ways. She asked for the favor with no strings attached, and he gave it to her and healed her daughter. That was a wonderful thing that he did. But this week, we're talking about a loyal follower. Here's a man, Peter, who is loyal to Jesus. He has followed him every step of the way. He's forsaken his own occupation to be with Jesus. He's not only loyal, he's courageous. He loves Jesus with all his heart, soul, and mind. And when Jesus takes his disciples aside and says, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you're the Messiah. Then Jesus says, I'm going to die. And Peter takes him aside and says, you can't say that. What a terrible thing to say. Wouldn't you, as somebody who loves Jesus, wouldn't you have said the same thing? I know I would have. What a terrible thing. Not only does he say, I'm going to die, but it's not even dying in battle. The Messiah was to come and was to get an army together, and was going to overthrow Rome or whatever occupying forces was there and establish the kingdom of David. And so if Jesus had said, you know, I'm going to lead you guys into battle, but I'm not going to make it, that at least would make sense. But he told them that he was going to die a criminal's death. That made absolutely no sense. So Peter takes him aside and tells him, you can't talk like that. You know, it would really, the morale of the troops will go right down the tubes if you say, I'm going to be killed. And killed as a criminal. Killed in humiliation. So you can understand why Peter said that. It was any one of us would have said it. And yet Jesus takes this loyal man, this man who has followed him, this man who has given everything for him and said, get out of my face, you're like the devil. You're in my way. That's a little harsh, wouldn't you think? But we who are on the other side of the resurrection understand that better than Peter would have. Because Jesus didn't just come for a small area of the world in the Middle East. He didn't just come to bring peace to one small area, but he came for the salvation of the whole world. He didn't just come for one moment in time, but he came so 2,000 years later, the gospel of peace is preached everywhere. He didn't come for a small group of people. He came for the world. And Peter at that moment, as well-intentioned as he was blocking Jesus' path to his destiny and to ours. So you can understand why he said, you've got to get out of my way. You're hindering me. And I'm sure that being human, Jesus didn't want to die that kind of a death. And so there was temptation when Peter was telling him that. That was awfully tempting to say, you know, you're right. We as a church, we as a people of God, can either be a help or a hindrance to the work of God. And I know that we want to be a help, that we don't want to be a hindrance. So how do we do that? Well, I'd like to look at the scripture in Isaiah, when God tells Isaiah to speak. And Isaiah says to him, "What am I going to say?" And in flowery language, Isaiah says, "All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field." Do you know what that means? In my language, it would be, "What am I going to say? We're all going to die." Think about it. Our destiny, we're all going to die. So what else is there to say? And God tells Isaiah, "Yes, I've created you and you're mortal. But I want to tell you a secret. God never changes. God always is. And one day we're going to see God in all his beauty and in all his glory. And until then, we have witnesses in creation that shows the grandeur and the beauty of God. So Isaiah, what I want you to tell the people is there's hope in darkness. There's peace amid strife. And God has the final word." And that's something that we as God's people need to talk about, is our hope, is our peace, is our joy. When people in their pessimism say, "Well, you know, we're just going to die anyway," we can say, "But there's hope, and death is not the last word." In our New Testament lesson, this is where I get tripped up, where James, when he talks about the tongue, and I know that sometimes before my brain is engaged, my mouth is going. And it's very hard sometimes in our current political climate not to get really snarky. And I've learned over the years that rather than feeling guilty about what I say, because all that does is get me into a cycle of self-loathing, I have to acknowledge my sinful tongue. But what I will try to do is make sure that out of this mouth each day comes a blessing, comes a benediction. We need to train our mouths to speak words of blessing. A person whom I love dearly, who had trained her tongue for that, was my friend Sue Sherman. It seemed that every time I saw her, at least one sentence that came out of her mouth was blessing. And those of you who knew her know what I'm talking about. There was a blessing. Even as she lay dying, she blessed people who came in. Out of her mouth came blessing. Now, I'm sure Sue had her snarky moment. She was human. But she trained herself to bless. Can we do the same thing? Can we be a help to the kingdom of God by training ourselves each and every day? Can we give a blessing? When somebody calls us on the phone, can we give a blessing? When we meet somebody on the street, can we give a blessing? It's so easy to snark. But James challenges the Church of Jesus Christ, out of our mouths, not just blessing inside the church, but blessing when we go out the door of the church. And then the third thing is what Jesus talks about when he says, if anyone wants to become my followers, deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. And that's the life of sacrifice, the life that looks at others' needs before we look at our own. And we are reminded of that when we think of all the stories of 9/11. We're now on our 14th year remembering that event. And it seems that every year more stories come out, not just of the horror, but of the joy of the people who gathered around to help. And there's a story that I had never heard before, how the Coast Guard came. And they ferried people off Manhattan Island all day just to get them out of harm's way. And there were so many who rushed to the scene. There were so many office workers who not only wanted to save their own lives, but grabbed a coworker and got them down those steps and to safety. Denying oneself. when we're in harm's way, not only to think of our own safety, but the safety of others and the rescue of others. If we want to be a help rather than a hindrance to the work of God, we speak hope in darkness. We speak blessing each day. And we find those opportunities not to look at our own selves, but what others need. And if we do that, Jesus is not going to say, get behind me. He's going to say, go in front. You're doing the right thing. You're my hands and my feet. So let's be the hands and feet and mouth of Jesus this week. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came to save and you came to redeem and you came to bring peace and you came to bring hope. And I ask that you use us as imperfect as we are, and you use our mouths to bring hope and blessing and peace to all whom we see this very week. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.